Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to this second episode of the August Summer Series, brought to you by Flats and Shanks. I am the Shanks, here's the Flats. Flatmandu.
Yep, Flatmandu.
Right, we've obviously got a big talking point this week.
What?
The illegal headbutt from Tame Basham into Owen Farrell's shoulder. Can't get into it yet. We've got to tease the listeners. They've got to listen a little bit, haven't they? They've got to find out what we're going up to.
Explosive views upcoming.
Okay? Oh, my explosive. God. Is this Andy but Good?
No. But first of all, Tom Thompson. I'm sure people download our pod for the odd rugby view, and that will come. But how you doing, fella? Are you okay?
Well, David, my wife and two girls went to London on Monday morning, and they didn't come back until 10:30 last night, which was Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
My four-year-old went to my mother's.
Oh, my God.
So I cooked a rolled sirloin for myself and had two roast dinners. Monday and Tuesday.
You fat bastard.
I know. Honestly, I reckon it's the best one I've done from Field and Flower. Like, don't know why. Sometimes there's a little bit of luck, isn't it? You get a good cut or you've just cooked it to perfection. And baby Jesus, it was the most tender, succulent, with a garlic crust on the outside.
Oh, God.
I mean, I didn't put loads of effort into the rest of the meal. I tried roast potatoes in the air fryer. And to be honest, mate, they just come up like a frozen roast potato.
Your air fryer's not the answer to everything then?
That's what they look like. Oh, no, mate, I'm not Pete Leckie.
Oh, is that what he's like? Is that what Bubs is like? Part of the cult, is he?
He loves treble-cooked Aunt Bessie's frozen roast potatoes.
Oh,
gourmet, sorry.
Oh, the classless mutant.
But
oh, God.
My point is, I part-boiled them and then put them in, but they just come out like they were frozen, so I'm not going to do it again. Perception.
I recently, this is like weeks ago, found out that I've always said part-boiled as in P-A-R-T, as you partly boil them, which I think you might have just done. I've always said part-boiled, and then Freya pulled me up on it and said it's par-boiled.
What?
With no tea. So that can't be right.
Ah, she's having you on, mate. You got baby brain. That's your problem now.
So you've had a lovely time, fella.
Oh.
I bet you didn't wash the whole time.
No, I did. I had a bath. A deep bath by Alan Partridge. Because I've got a bit of a sore shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. Well, it's a sore neck. Probably sleeping awkwardly. But
do you
I don't care.
Use an overpriced pillow?
Do now, boy. Do now.
They make all the difference, mate.
Yep.
The more you pay, the less your neck hurts. That's what I found out. Having said that, when I was in the England squad in about 2003, yes, 2003.
The World Cup winner?
Yeah. No, not quite. No, it was actually 2004. It was after the World Cup, and they realised they needed to upgrade because they only won it. We had a deal with Temper, and I got this mattress, which is long gone, but I still have my 20-year-old Temper pillow that I use every night on my neck. And I'm down in Devon at the moment, which I'll explain, but I've got one called a Levitex as well, which really helps my neck. But without them, I am cream screwed.
Jeez, you want to keep that away from forensics, mate?
Well, I take it to a dry cleaner.
Doesn't matter.
yeah, they can't get that out. Not two decades
of wrongness. A lot of unsolved crimes within that pillow.
Yeah. Yeah. I said, can I dry clean this, but I don't want it put on any sort of database. Is that okay? I paid 20 quid to an old granny to take it in. But I've got a 20-year-old pillow. And I thought to myself, we've had this chat and we're going to get back to your time alone in a sec, but we might have had it. But I've thought to myself, I've got mattresses, a mattress that I don't love at home. And it's fine for Freya because she weighs about 8 stone, but it's not fine for me. Don't love it. Back hurts every morning. And I was like, the only mattress I've ever had that I've loved start to finish, I lost in my divorce, Tom. A Temper mattress. So I lost that in the divorce.
Is it still outside the front of her house?
With bastard sprayed on it. And I was
like,
right,
what you did to
one.
Me.
Yeah, I'm getting one, sod this. And then I realised, for the best one, for the right size, it's $3,500. And I thought, I would rather have a bad back than pay that. Yes. You know, if I could, I'd pay $500,000 for a car. I'd pay £1 million for a car if I had the money, but I will not pay $3,000 for a mattress that I spend 8 hours on every day of my life.
Do you remember in the early 2000s, everyone thought the futon was the way forward?
Yeah, yeah. Ridiculous. No, I bet Bubs is on that as well.
You know, he's probably thin back then. Just come out of the army. I had a futon, and it wasn't the answer. And a bloke that stayed around my house once wet it. I can't shame him on here, because he was going
wasn't
through...
Wasn't Jed, was it?
He was going... No, it wasn't Jed. It was a friend of a friend, really. But he had previous, and I think those times are gone now. So he doesn't wet the futon or the bed anymore, or sofas.
So is he a rugby player?
We'll leave it at that, no. He wishes.
All right.
He bloody wishes.
One of those. Hey, yeah.
Don't they all? Don't they all?
Reece Blumberg.
Not on this time.
You wish
you're
a rugby player until you hear what Steven Gerrard's getting paid in Saudi Arabia, then you wish you were something else.
Oh. Chasing the
Yankee
dollar.
Just give me 1 week, mate. Just give me a week.
What about NFL?
Give me a week, fella.
I've been watching Quarterback on Netflix. It's really good.
Is it?
Yeah. I think it's just three quarterbacks they follow. All different. All at different stages of their career. Patrick Mahomes, mate. Oh, my days. He's what? Something special.
Is he?
Yeah. He's fair. I think he's like mid-20s. But just incredible. He's a superstar. And I've never really got into NFL, but I'm watching this because it's really good access into their sort of family lives as well as sort of game day and insight. I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Okay. I've been recommended that by someone else as well. Maybe I'll have a go.
It's one of those when you're sitting on the bike in the gym. Not that you do that. The toilet. When you're sitting on the toilet and you know it's gonna be a long one, you've got 45 minutes. Just put it on.
Pins and needles in your feet.
Yep.
We have had an unusual situation in our house the last few days whereby we have started watching something that sounded really good because I went on a... I just thought, let's just have a look on the old home screen of Sky Plus or whatever it is, and it recommended this thing with Martin Freeman in it called A Confession. And started watching it. I thought, this is quite good. Watched one episode. And obviously, my wife's tired. Had a baby, so she goes to bed after one episode. Start a bit earlier the next night. Get another episode in. And I was like, let's just watch a bit of the third one before you go to bed. All right. So we get going. And about half an hour in, and this is not that unusual for me, But for her, I'm amazed because she's like an elephant. Okay, she's got very, she forgets nothing and she's got very large toenails. I said, I think I've seen this before. And she was like, no way. Oh my God, have we really? And about 10 minutes later, she's like, oh my God, I know what's going to happen next. And we realise we're watching a four-year-old series that we've already watched, but we are three whole episodes in before we both realise that we've seen it all before.
Could have been a lot worse, mate. You could have watched it with your ex-wife and then you'd have had some sort of explaining to do. It would have been awkward.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Especially as I've done it, especially the year it was made.
Remember when you went to Thailand?
We divorced.
No.
Would have been awkward.
No, I've never been to Thailand with you. Oh, it's, yeah. It's the ex.
They get a lot of that.
Remember Jackie Chan in Way of the Dragon.
Halfway through. We've got halfway through and we've had to stop because we've watched it. And so we started watching something last night called, so I've forgotten, I hate when people do this, ITV, it's about a guy, a familicide case where he killed his family and himself and we didn't quite know what we were putting on and I was
gritty.
I quite like a bit of dark TV, I quite like heavy TV.
Watch The Virtues then with Stephen Graham.
That's my God, I've seen that. That's immense television, that.
Well, I'm two episodes in and it's not very uplifting. So,
no,
does it
get
better?
The opposite of uplifting.
All right, I'm not going to watch it then.
Now, I would say that is one of the best television programs I've watched. That would be in my top five television shows, series I've ever watched.
You're turning to me. Do you know that? Dark.
I haven't laminated the top five, not like you. Yeah, I know. You've rubbed off on me, so to speak. Okay. I hope you haven't rubbed off on me.
20 years ago, maybe.
Not recently. Yeah, a little while back. Those are the days. But The Virtues is incredible, mate. Absolutely incredible. Little Boy Blue as well with him. They're awful, but
yeah,
brilliant. They're kind of, you feel like they're important, you know.
I started watching Special Ops Lioness.
What's that?
That is, it's a American military against Iraq. So blown up that's another thing I watched. Something like that.
we need to get out more, mate.
I started watching something with Gerard Butler in. Kandahar. That's it. I watched a bit of that last night. But anyway, Special Ops Lioness is about a Special Ops military team. They're trying to get a spy into a terrorist organisation. It's quite good.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's quite good. I'm enjoying it. Easy
to
watch.
The thing with Gerard Butler is that he's just Rory Lawson on steroids, mate.
Have you seen? Yeah, he's Rory Lawson with a little bit of a Andy Powell speech impediment. Have you seen his welcome? Yeah. Have you seen his "We Are Scotland" video? It's quite good. Scotland World Cup.
I haven't watched it, and do you know what? I flicked past it this morning, so because I was up early with the toddler, and I'll explain all that in a sec, the logistics at the moment, but. I flicked past it because I wasn't ready for it, but also I was looking for something for my daughter. But then I thought, is this Scotland trying to do what Martin Sheen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did for Wales. And it's like, or was it the Lions he did it for? I can't remember.
No, it was for Wales football. I think it was.
Wales football, that's right. And I was just like, oh man, you can't match that. So are they trying to do one of those?
Well, I don't
know. Who's England's one going to be? Are they going to get Boris to do it?
It's quite good. Even though they will be going home after the group stages, it's still quite good for the short term.
I think they should get Rishi Sunak to do one for the England rugby team. Go and get them. Yeah. Go and, yeah, try and win, but ultimately be fair. What we must be is fair. Something
my
like
advice
that.
To you is to marry well. Marry into richness.
Yeah.
Marry into wealth.
Yeah.
It's quite good. I quite enjoy
that. That is
it.
Good advice.
I like anything like that.
Okay, that's good. We've started on this dark road now with this episode one of this thing, and it is bloody hell, man. I don't know why we do it. Like, in the end, Freya used to be an absolute wimp with this stuff. And last night, I was there, hands over my eyes, like, I can't bear it, looking at my phone, thinking this is too much. And I said to her, why do we do it? And she's like, yeah, I don't know. Should we watch Peppa Pig or something before we go to bed? Like, this is...
Let's go and cheer ourselves
last
up.
Last time we were down in Devon, before we had the baby, I was watching the Tour de France documentary, whatever, I always forget what these things are called, but Unchained or something. But I love that, absolutely love that. And I was like, that's a great thing to watch, because blokes often stay up later than women. I'm sure I'm generalising here, but most blokes I know stay up later than their wives do. Do you stay up and watch telly after everyone's gone to bed for half an hour or not?
No. We just go to bed at the same time.
Yeah, I sometimes slip into that rhythm of going to bed later, and then I snap myself out of it and think it's actually quite important to not go to bed an hour apart every night.
When we finish these dark series, do you say to your missus, come on, let's go put the Ted Bundy files on, cheer ourselves up?
Come on. Yeah.
Come on, let's go watch Dez again.
When you've got 14 kids, you knocking around the place, that little bit of time with a drink or without a drink, but that little bit of time on your own in the evening is just sacrosanct. It's like, it's not as good as everyone going away and leaving you on your own at home like you've had. It's not as good as that, but it is, it's everything at the time. So I don't want to let it go, and then I stay up late and then I'm shafted the next morning. So what we've done is, Tommy, we've, as you know, we were in Devon. Mm-hmm. We realised that my wife was having a baby, so we got everyone back, left all our stuff in Devon, or most of it, got back, had a week and a half at home in Bath, but then thought, well, truth be told, like, if it was just the four of us, we wouldn't have bothered coming back down, because getting a newborn and a toddler back down here, all that stuff, to a house that isn't big enough to have four kids in it as well as us, just isn't.
Yeah, I know, I don't get any advice.
Not quite. That. You're like, yeah, exactly. There's no room to host anyone, which is, I guess, it's a John Lewis problem. I'm not complaining, but it's it's just not big enough.
Bed, mate.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah,
made love in your
exactly.
Bed.
It, yeah,
it's a problem.
Own it. Just own it. Yeah. So we were like, but the big girls, this is their favourite thing. Like, you can take our kids anywhere, but where they want to be is in Devon with their mates and in the summer. So we're like, right, we've got to go back down, and we've embraced it, and we got everyone in the big, got the old Land Rover, I've got the Defender 130 now, which has got 8 seats in it, but we stocked up the car as much as we could, paddle boards, we got a new great big bloody buggy thing, and it's like, right, we got everything in the car, everyone in the car, Freya, a week and a bit after having a baby, she's sandwiched in between two car seat baby seats in the back, Buddha, the middle kid number two, is in, got one of the pull-up seats in the boot, the single seat, that's up, she's completely hemmed in by paddle boards and buggies and luggage, so you can't see her. She's in there, seatbelt on, headphones on, charger in the little socket you've got back there, so she's all right. Peanut gets to go in the front, and we make it down to Devon, and it's great, but it's kind of like, this house, you've been here, it's fine, but it's not a large home, and it is not, it's like, it's made of cardboard, and we went really trendy and painted all the floorboards white. Now that's cool, and it's low maintenance, and it does look nice, but it is really noisy.
When you shit yourself, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, when you have a dirty protest. It is so noisy that we're having to abandon our sleep training principles, where if at home, if the toddler wakes up at 6:30, she gets left until 7 on the dot, and she doesn't really cry because she knows she's going to be there till 7 and we'll come. But here she cries and everyone is awake in a split second, and the teenagers are hating it and, Daddy, I'm like, get her. Like,
oh, shut God's her sake, up so before I do.
Yeah. And then she, like the other night, Buddha walked in, and like, when we, the night Frey went to labour, it was like, she's been awake for an hour. She does this every night. Every night she wakes us up. I was like, right. This is a talk about their little sister, their toddler. I was like, she hasn't made a squeak in the middle of the night for a year, and she is not yet two. So that what you're saying is not true. Why do you always say that? You pick on the smallest detail. Like, okay. Everyone's getting stressed, including me. So we've come back down to the noise chamber.
All right. Good luck.
Basically.
8 seats well, in a Land Rover. Anyway. Get back to that.
Yeah, mate, it's awesome.
I thought if you get it's two awesome. In the back, in the boot,
yeah. So
three,
It's longer. You know the 110 I had, the Land Rover Defender 110, like, you know, you've seen them.
AC525 fucking Cobra. 1210.
Two-tone.
1210, two-tone.
But it's 110, so it's the longer one, and it's got seven seats, so you can pull two seats up in the back.
Yeah.
But this is a 130, so it's even longer. And when you're driving it, you wouldn't notice a difference, but it's longer. And in the back, you know your middle row of seats, like your normal mm-hmm. back seat in the Defender? The rearmost ones in the boot are exactly the same as those. So there's no compromise. It's just like sitting in the back seat. And there's two full benches. So you've got two rows of three.
Yep.
And it properly works. Like, we have had eight people in it. And you wouldn't want to go in the back. But you could go in the back. Because you can slide the middle seats forward and back. You could go in the back for 45 minutes comfortably.
That says to me, you're going to have one more.
It's wicked. No, absolutely no way. Absolutely no way on earth.
Have you had it yet, the vasectomy?
No, I need... do you know what? I tried to book it. Man, yeah. I tried to book it day three.
Worried you feel less
I was holding
man.
The little baby. I was holding the baby in my arms and emailing a facility near me in Bath and in between Bath and Bristol, and they replied to me saying you need to get referred by your GP.
Yep.
So I emailed the GP thing, and they said, we're not doing online appointments at the moment. Can you basically email us back next week, which is Thursday, which is tomorrow?
It's not an emergency.
Yeah. So I'm like, right, I am literally actively trying to arrange someone to take it all away.
Mm. Take the pain away.
I'm ready, mate.
Yeah,
I'll
no,
do it now.
Yeah,
I'll do it now.
Yeah, you were ready 4 years ago, mate. You know that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's great. But luckily, we've got the big girls. They don't like it when they get woken up, but they are. You know, because when you.
It's character building.
You've got a new baby.
It's character building.
You've got to get four kids to Devon, including a newborn and a toddler. You've got to stop a couple of times. We had to go via a midwife discharge appointment in Chippenham, which is. Appointment. 25 minutes away from Devon. So we had to go there before we then left there and then went to Devon. So it's one of those days where it was like, this could be a ball ache.
Yeah.
You finally get in, get all the stuff in, get all your stuff back in the house, unpack, do all that. Oh, you sit down and the toddler is just wild with energy because she's been in the car. We have got two big girls who are just on their feet playing with her all day until bedtime without being asked. It's just unbelievable.
Pay mine to do
so
that.
Lucky. Oh, mate, they are amazing, honestly. They don't listen to my pod, so I can say that. They
Shall we have
anyway.
A well-timed break, a well-timed ad break?
Yep.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right, let's get into the rugger. Come on.
Oh, God.
Come on. Right, for me...
Do you want to do the Owen Farrell thing first?
Okay, I was going to start on a positive, France, Scotland.
Yeah, no, that's what I thought. Let's start on something
because
fun.
England-Wales was appalling. I didn't enjoy it one bit. And then
no.
A couple of hours later, you've got Scotland v France on, and that's a game. That's a proper game. You know, you've got two teams who want to go out there and play. And it did. It was fast-paced, and I thought Scotland did really well to start with. It's a shame they couldn't hold on, to be fair, because they pushed France all the way. It was only the last kick, basically, of the game, which sealed it for France. But Scotland looked good. you have to say that they do. Mm. They've got themselves into a position now where they play good face play rugby, so they sort of understand. It's a lot like Glasgow. Most teams try and play this way, but a lot of teams aren't as good as it. You know, the way that the decision making is really good with a forward pod, and whether it's tipped on or whether it's put behind, they make good decisions. And whether that's just the forwards or whether that's Finn Russell or a ball player, a back behind calling it, but they make good decisions. And when it's on, it's on. And they know how to play, and they know how to get the ball out the back, and they know how to realign themselves. And when it's not, they play their short runners. And some of those lines hit by some of the forwards were really good, like Jack Dempsey, you know, carries all day. Schoeman, really good in the loose, really good, and really good with ball in hand as well. And they just make good decisions. And Carl Steyn snuck in for a couple of tries, looked big and strong, to be fair, as did Van der Merwe. And whenever Van der Merwe gets the ball in hand, it's just... it always looks like men against boys. He just dominates the tackle, even when you think he's going to get hit back. He just stays on his feet that extra little bit longer and manages to buy himself a little bit of time. But I joked at the start of this pod saying Scotland might be going home after the group stages. They might. They still might. That just shows you how tough their group is with Ireland and South Africa might. But yeah, I can see huge improvement in them. Blair Kinghorn at the back. You've just got another ball player there. Really good.
Nice, he sharp plays, on his feet too.
He is. Plays 10 for Edinburgh most of the time. I think he probably is a 15 because he's got that much pace. But getting him either side of the ruck with Finn Russell is just a huge threat for them. And I think they've got the centre partnership in Hugh Jones and Sione Tuipulotu. I think they're the ones, even though Redpath is good, I think those are the two really. And Stafford McDowell is a big unit, but I think the combination of Tuipulotu and Hugh Jones is the way forward for Scotland. And then obviously Finn at 10 as well. So they look, for me, they look a fairly settled team now, and they look like they know how they want to play. It's a massive shame, Enter Max out. That was
gutting.
That's huge. You know, it looked so innocuous well, how we did it.
Yeah.
But it was a really good game. Really enjoyed it. Played the way you want to see rugby played. A good advertisement for rugby if people weren't really into rugby. To watch a game like that gets people interested, because nobody is going to want to play rugby after watching England v Wales. What were your thoughts on France-Scotland, boy?
No, bang on. Really enjoyed it. I don't think France look properly at it, and don't think they have done for a little while. So the notion of them going into the tournament as favourites for me doesn't wash at the moment. Mind you, I thought until a month or so ago that South Africa were probably favourites. Now I think, you know, if I had to put 20 quid on a team, it'd be New Zealand to win it. In brackets, hope it's Ireland. if it's not, you know, I'd love Ireland to deliver on all their promise and go and do it. But New Zealand look fab to me, but France don't look quite there. And I still think a couple of little things. Well, one big thing about France is that when they played Ireland and lost relatively comfortably in a pretty epic match in the Six Nations, two things that stood out to me were the conditioning. They didn't look, and everyone looked hanging in these games because they're pre-season games. They just happen to be test matches, which is pretty brutal on the lungs. But everybody's looking hanging in these games. Everyone's sucking in air, except Jamie George. Don't know if you noticed that. Never gets tired. Genuinely, Jamie George never gets tired. It's the weirdest thing. Anyway, everyone's sucking in big ones. But Ireland, France looked knackered in the last 20 minutes, which is one thing in that Six Nations game. But they also, for me, it was one brilliant team. Ireland just were a brilliant team that everyone knew what they were doing the whole time. So well organised with the ball and without it. And France looked pretty well organised without the ball. Defence has gone up leagues since Sean Edwards arrived. We know that. But I still think they are a team that can do brilliant team things, but do look to certain individuals to produce something brilliant. And the deeper you get into a World Cup, the better teams you're playing against, it is harder for those individuals to just produce something, which is why when they do, it's a standout moment, like your Jonah Lomu's, like your Jason Robinson's, producing something from nothing.
Cheslin Kobe against so England in the final.
I still think they've got some amazing players that can do that against anybody, but it becomes less likely. The teams that are more likely to win those games are the teams that absolutely have it together as a 15 when they've got the ball and when they haven't. And for me, France look generally very well organised defensively, but and in attack, I often think they are looking to a Penaud, to a Dupont, to a Donty, to just go and do something, mate. It's like when I was playing England schoolboys, I remember we used to just say, get the ball to Bolsh, like Ian Bolshaw. It was like, if we're struggling, we played against Ireland schools at Lansdowne Road, and it was like, right, get the ball to Bolsh. It was literally like that, and Bolsh could just do something, and then he got the ball and did something because he was better than everyone else. Mm. And France are a bit like that, and I think that doesn't win you a World Cup as... I think it great fun if it does, because you're going to see some brilliant stuff. But I felt a bit like that about France. Like, they've got a lot of players, amazing players, like running sideways, looking for a gap, speculating. And you sort of think, I'm not sure this is as good as Ireland or New Zealand, who look really cohesive as a team. Mm. The other thing on Scotland, maybe I'm wrong, but on Scotland, the forwards making good decisions, I agree with that, except, and this is a really small margin point, but if you talk about fine margins at that level, Xander Fagerson not being there makes a real difference, because the one, like WP Nel, I'm a massive fan, he's a very good scrummager. I think France got away with a couple of bits they shouldn't have got away with at the weekend in the scrum. And WP Nel is a miracle at 37, I love him, but he was the one player who stood up at first receiver a few times and was static, and it actually gave France a run-up at the guys out the back. And I thought it's little things like that, which if you lose a game by a few points, you'd almost say, right, if Fagerson's not playing against the Springboks in a few weeks, let's limit the amount of time, number of times he appears first receiver.
Yeah, you can
it's
do
not
that.
An insult, he's just, that's
yeah,
it.
You can do that, it's just organisation more so. But often the first receiver, sometimes he takes it, but it's often the guy on the outside that brings the pace and the power. But but they do get organised well, Scotland. I've seen that. I've noticed that over the last couple of years.
Really do, yeah.
Yeah, they get themselves in good positions.
I'd love them to come together and just twat a big team in the World Cup and really prove a point.
They can. But 100% they can. They do it in the Six Nations fairly regularly.
Yeah.
It's just that string of games together. They can't. They can do it once or twice, but then... backing that up three or four times, I think they find hard at the moment. But
yeah,
and I suppose injury comes in down to that a lot. Losing key players, in order to stay, the good teams that go through the competitions are the ones that generally are injury free, and the core of the team stands together.
Yeah,
and stays together.
Yeah,
get your point a little bit on France. You can't look too much into... I don't think you can look too much into the summer series. I think you've got to go back to Six Nations a little bit, because fitness plays a part in this now. They're getting primed for the World Cup. These are games that they're trying to get combinations together, but also get yourself fit, get yourself game ready.
Minging games, actually, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Horrible games.
They are, I mean, I just look at the French team and... there is class everywhere. I mean, Dupont again.
Oh, 100%, mate. But in that Ireland France game in the Six Nations, it was a brilliant game. But there was one, and my memory for detail, I'm afraid, my semantic memory just isn't very good. So no need to tweet in and say I've got a bounce pass wrong or something. But there was a break. I think Penaud made made an amazing break, I think, which led to a try. And it's like, what a team. And it was like, no, there was a really poor pass that hit the ground. Penaud has to turn to pick it up. And he's just a massive freak and he makes a break. Mm. Like I say that's a compliment. He's just massive and quick and aggressive. And it's like, actually, if you really look at it, it probably should have been defended better. Like we always used to joke, the old bounce pass is indefendable.
It's hard.
It's hard, but... But it actually was not brilliant play from France, and a big player picked up the ball and legged it. And it's kind of like, well, that does work sometimes, but I don't think it's less likely to work against an informed New Zealand or South Africa, I would suggest. But I could be wrong. It worked against Ireland, number one team in the world, so I could be talking rubbish. I hope I am, because I'd love to see him be brilliant.
That opening game, France, New Zealand. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's going to set the tone for the tournament. And I think whoever wins that will go on and win it.
Sean Edwards, we're going to get to Sean Edwards in a sec when we talk about Owen Farrell. But he's got a column, or he's ringing in to a columnist in the Daily Mail who's writing it up and quoting him, sort of thing, I think. Or he quoted in the Daily Mail anyway. And he's saying, you know, big game for us, the first game. But if it doesn't go, even more important is that Italy game, the second game. Because if the first game doesn't go our way, that Italy game becomes vital. And I'm almost like, you sort of wonder if they really think they can win it. I'm reading too much into that.
I think he's probably just trying to take the pressure off the expectation.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, yeah.
Because they'll beat Italy. Right. They'll definitely beat Italy, I think.
Yeah.
But it's just the hype of the first game is absolutely huge. Right, we'll get into England-Wales now.
Great fun.
First
half. Actually, let me just say from the start, Tommy,
yep.
I enjoyed it. But I enjoyed it because the house was chaos and there's loads of kids everywhere and people are visiting and it's all really nice. And I was excused to go and watch the whole game I had to watch it in the evening and dodge social media. I watched it in the evening when one of the kids had gone to bed, and I took a bottle of wine into the sitting room on my own and watched it. So I was in heaven, mate. So the quality of the game didn't affect my enjoyment because I was on my own in a quiet room watching rugby.
I watched it in the lounge.
But apart from that,
and it was 3-0 after 9 minutes, and then it became 6-0 after 40, and nothing went on really. A yellow card for Henry Arundel, which was pretty poor yellow card, might affect his chances actually.
But it looked like a kid trying to get in the game, didn't it?
Yeah, it
desperate
did. But
to do something like
start, you know, incidents like that must infuriate coaches, because you do that in a World Cup, you could be out. It was just so basic. I don't know why he did it. Hope Dowie Lake is okay. He got sort of a croc roll from the side, something that has to be banned. I've seen so many horrendous injuries with that, because someone's on your leg, you're trying to turn sideways. I really hope he's okay. Sam Perry comes on, and there's one run down the left-hand side. Boy, he looked quick.
Oh,
he looked like a centre.
Flying, mate. Wasn't he?
I know. Shane Van Portfleet is out as well.
Yeah, horrible. Poor bloke.
Yeah, it is horrible. These games are just... Ugh. You just hope everyone stays fit. You don't want to see an injury. You don't want to see someone miss their chances of playing in the World Cup. Fortunately, he's got youth on his side, and he will make another one, isn't he? Pretty sure about that.
Horrible.
But nothing really got going in the game, Flats. There was a high tackle on Josh Adams, which probably could have been a red card. It was a yellow. And then you have the main incident of the game, the main talking point of the game, Owen Farrell. So,
well, before we get to that, the Josh Adams thing with Freddie Stewart.
Yep.
It's an interesting one whereby I know people love climbing on this stuff and tweeting and Instagram posting controversial views on it. But he gets taken out in the air. There's just no question of that. He lands on his side and grabs his head.
Yep.
Now, as anyone knows who has been twatted hard by Trevor Leota, Chris Halofia, you know, side on, you do not need to get hit in the head for it to rattle your head.
No, not at all.
You do not need that. Like, you can absolutely, you know, if a motorbike hit you and didn't touch your head, there's a good chance it would hurt your head, right?
Yep.
So, but he grabs his head, and this is not me saying he's play actor or anything like that, because to start saying that stuff is like, well, you can tell when someone's play acting often, unless you're really sure. I think you need to be quiet, because you might be wrong. On that, I think if he grabs his head, my inclination, not to stamp out diving, because I'm not saying he was, But I think if someone grabs their head like that after a fall from the air or a big collision like that, there is a good argument that they should have an HIA. Like someone posted it and I thought, that's not my idea, but that's quite a good one.
Definitely, definitely. I mean, you do grab your head in certain situations when you've hurt another part of your body. Like you roll on the floor and your leg hurts, you do grab your head. But
yeah, it's true.
It was a heavy fall and he wasn't HIA'd, was he?
I think we could be wrong here, but I think he was not. No.
No, I don't think he was either. Tane Basham was and failed that and didn't come back on.
Failed it, I believe.
But no, I don't think Josh Adams was. And he needed to be. Because you're right, if he's grabbing his head like that, he's obviously hurt it, or it was a big fall. It was a big fall. And he was yellow carded. It's one of those where he was tackled in the air. He landed on his side. So I wasn't too bothered if it was yellow. I wasn't too bothered if it was a red. It was sort of in between those two, I think. So he got a yellow. But Farrell, let's move on to that, shall we?
Yes.
The ruling was...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The ruling game gone was, soft, you're going to say, aren't you?
The ruling was that there was a significant dip in height from Tane Basham, which, because he was put off course a little bit by Jamie George. But for me, I think initial contact is just below the chin. I think he hits him just below, and then the shoulder follows through and hits the chin.
So let's call it the windpipe.
It's the arm. It's the tucked arm. You can't tackle like that. I've seen it so many times. There's not a significant drop in height from Owen Farrell. He's upright when he goes to make the tackle. Tane Basham does dip a little bit, but not enough. And that is a red card. It is a red card. I've seen loads of cards like that given. Loads. But this sets a precedent now for the rest of the tournament or the rest of rugby. If that's deemed not a red card and he's free to play, then all the other hits like that during the tournament, because there will be some, can't be a red. It can't be.
Yeah.
He has to be banned from that tackle. That's just... I like him as a player. I think he's a great player. I really do. I rate him really highly. But you can't tackle like that. You just can't. You can't stay high. You can't have your arm by your side. And you can't stay upright. You have to dip. So I don't know. Why do you think he's not been banned? Do you think it's because he's an England captain and they're a little bit worried?
So do you know when there was that famous solicitor called Mr. Loophole or Dr. Loophole or something?
Yep.
And I think David Beckham was one of the famous ones, but celebrities and rich people would use him to get them off speeding fines.
Yeah.
Do you remember him? I think it's like one of those things where it's a lot like having, you know, it's a lot like playing with Danny Grucock. It's like if you don't support the team he plays for, if you're an opposition player or fan or coach, he's an easy guy to hate. But would you quite like it if he was on your team? Yeah, right? So I'm getting somewhere with it. I'm only playing. But it's like the Dr. Loophole thing, the loophole lawyer thing. Everyone thought it was outrageous. But actually, that's because most people couldn't afford it, right? So it doesn't seem fair. And it's almost like Richard Smith, the KC,
yep.
Who is, I mean... It's not about blaming anyone. He is literally employed to, you know, to reduce England players' bans and help them in disciplinaries. That is his job. So that is his job. So everyone deserves a fair defence, right? In all sorts, in all aspects of law. Now that is his job. So he has done his job very, very well. Now another way to look at it, I will get to a point, I promise. Another way to look at it is that Jamie George does make contact with Tane Basham, mm-hmm. right? He does make contact with him before Owen Farrell hits him. So what happens is a percentage, whatever that is, indeterminate percentage of that collision is beyond the control of the ball carrier and crucially the tackler. It's beyond Owen Farrell's control. So the other way to look at it is that you're talking about the precedent it sets in terms of this World Cup, in terms of amateurs watching on TV, kids saying, well, I'm allowed to do it. And actually, the other precedent is that what you are doing is issuing a ban for a collision, some of which was completely out of the tackler's control. Now, I'm just giving a different perspective, right? However, and the left, Owen Farrell's left arm threatens to come up a bit. So I think the palm of his left hand may even make contact with Tame Basham when he hits him. However, I completely agree with you. I'm just saying that people go mad about it, and I completely understand. Like, Danny Cipriani went on Twitter and kind of said, hey guys, why is everyone going so mad? And why all the vitriol? It's like, hang on a minute. There are amateur players all over the world, UK, whatever, who are being dictated to in terms of safety. Their game's being changed massively because of safety. And they see the top player in the country do this and, in inverted commas, get away with it, at least not get banned for it. And this is someone with a history of hitting like this and a history of getting banned for it and not getting banned when some people thought he should have been. It is emotional. People are emotive about sport. And you can't condone abuse and vitriol, but as soon as you try and dilute the emotional response to sport, you miss the point. The emotional response is literally why TV companies pay millions of pounds and finance the professional game. So you need tribal. We need and want tribal emotional reactions. That is what we want. You don't need people being horrible.
Like the Ashes this year.
Yeah, you need it. Yeah, exactly. We need it. It's literally the lifeblood of sport. Right, so to say, why the emotional reaction? It's like, no, that is why, because you need it. So that's missing the point. So that's different perspective, but
I think
the touch shoulder, it never looked legal to me from start to finish.
No, it didn't. And I think if it was a soak-up tackle, then you could sort of understand why, because Basham was slightly knocked off course. I get it. But he does put a shot in. You know, he moves into the tackle. And he is very, very upright and his arms by his side. So
I remember a few years ago, I was actually commentating and it was Munster against Gloucester. And actually, as it happens, Danny Cipriani was playing 10 and he kind of was moving backwards. It was a very passive attempt at a tackle without being horrible, hoping someone else would make the tackle, right?
Yep.
Which is fine. A lot of 10s are like that. And yeah, shoulder to the head, red card. Now, that wouldn't be a red card now.
Nope, I don't think so either.
So when you look back, you think, Sips, that they were the rules, they were the laws.
Because the force is coming from the ball carrier rather than a tackler in that instance.
Yeah,
but
Farrell's gone aggressive and buried him, mate.
Yeah, he has. Like,
so that is different.
It is. Yeah. But no ban, so good for England. Or not.
Well...
Or not.
Do you know
George Ford looked really good
when
he came on.
Exactly right, and the agonising bit would have been if he'd got 5 weeks and would have missed, you know, or if say they'd banned him and he was going to miss 3 World Cup games or the first two or something, then
needed to miss at least one World Cup game, I think, for people to understand.
Yeah. But Borthwick would have then had to make a decision. Do you take someone who definitely isn't playing for the first couple of games? And they probably would, because they got Ford and Smith. So they probably would have done. But then Farrell would have played in the World Cup, having not played for 5 weeks. Actually, wouldn't make any difference to him, probably. But that's when it would have got awkward. I would say that, you know, watching all the Premiership stuff, Owen Farrell has just been mega for Sarries, as you know. You've watched it. He's just played beautifully the last couple of seasons. And he looks chilled, he smiles, it's relaxed, and he still, you know, legally twats people and goes hard, but he has looked in beautiful form. That just, not all his fault, that just hasn't translated to England. And there are certain formulas at Sarries that won't work at England and aren't repeated and all that sort of stuff. It just hasn't quite transferred. Marcus Smith has never quite been given the reins for a consistent period, and then he has started and it hasn't gone brilliantly, and he hasn't always started with a massive 12 like he's had at Quinns, and there's all these things. I'm not sure that England aren't better with Ford at 10 and Smith on the bench bringing something different. That's And another point I was going to ask you about is that Brendan Gallagher, legend of rugby, right, British rugby writing, he he suggested on Twitter, he's like, why are they wasting Ollie Lawrence at 12? Why is he not playing 13? He's got the pace to play 13, more space, more damage. And I thought, oh yeah, I quite like that. I'm going to steal that idea. What do you think of that?
He has got the pace to play 13. It's just then who would you play at 12? Tuilagi? Would you play Farrell?
Guess so.
And Ford?
Exactly.
There's so many different combinations. I mean, I go back to the best game I've seen England play in a long time, and that was the semi-final. I think it was quarter or semi-final against New Zealand. And it was the best I've seen him play. And that was with Ford and Farrell, 10-12. I'm not sure it is the right combination for England now. I quite like Ollie Lawrence at 12. Marchant, I like him at 13. But then Tuilagi's got to fit in, I think. Because I think he's, if he's fit, he's too good to leave out, I think. And too much of a threat to leave out. So I don't know.
You this think
is,
still?
Yeah, I do. This is the issues you've still got with England, I think, is you don't know the best combination. And going into a World Cup, that's not a great position to be in. I think with certain teams, you get it, you know. But with England, no idea, mate, who the best combo at 10, 12, 13 is. I think Farrell is, I really rate him. And I think you have to have him in there just because what I've seen with Saracens and England. But
yeah,
he's a brilliant player. He is brilliant. I don't know, mate.
I still think you need. I think you need a physical threat, be it power.
Yeah, you do.
Or
somewhere
brutal line running at 12. I still think you need.
12
second
or
5'8". I think. Yeah, I just look at the French model. I look at, you know, Bundiaki. I look at Jonathan Donti. I look at, you know, Henshaw's a big unit as well. I look at Esterhazen and Diolandi. You look at Samu Karevi. You think it's not the only way to play, and it isn't the only way. Jordy Barrett's a massive man.
He's huge.
But it is really handy to have a physical threat close to your fly half, because otherwise it just seems to make it easier to shut down a fly half, because you can take one eye off the 12 because they're not brutally quick or brutally powerful. I think it, you know.
But this 12 does have to be a ball player as well. It cannot be just straight up and down. I think it depends on Johnny Williams' fitness this week, because he gets himself fit and then he has a run of games, be it 4, 5 or 6. And gets injured again.
Yeah,
that's happened ever since he's come to Wales. So there's talk that he's going to be fit this weekend. So there's a big game for him because he could be the answer for Wales at 12. I think I really like Mason Grady at 13. I think 15 is nailed on in Liam Williams. He was by far the best Welsh player out there. Even though he dropped a couple of balls, they looked horrible to take. The spiral up and under, where the ball just moves in the air. When it's end over end, it's easy to see the flight path of the ball. You know, but when it's spiraling in the air, it moves it left and right. The wind takes it. They're horrendous to take. And I think, you know, you can excuse him for dropping a couple of them, because we know he's one of the best under the high ball.
I'd say at least one of them was impossible to take.
There wasn't many... Yeah. Big performances from Wales, and I think there'd be quite a few boys that might have played themselves out of the team. Gareth Thomas did okay, I think, in the at Loosehead.
I must say, I thought he was excellent, and I thought a couple of decisions were right, but a couple of decisions didn't go his way. I thought he was excellent defensively as well, and Dowie Lake.
Yeah,
the line out was poor, really poor. But the hook always gets the blame, and I think there was one or two overthrows there.
He did go off early, but the line-out, you're right, was
what a player,
non-existent.
Mate.
It was non-existent, the line-out.
Yeah, it was awful.
Know, the timing was off. There was no lift. The communication. You could see it wasn't just the hooker. Yeah. You could see it was the whole movement of the line-out. So, for whatever reason, there shouldn't be a massive excuse for that, because you've had a lot of time to work on line-outs, and for it to go as badly as that was pretty atrocious, I thought.
But Dowie Lake, I like a lot.
Yep. Sam Parry came on and looked okay as well. He's very good in the loose.
Yeah, he
scores
did.
A lot of tries.
Yeah.
I was looking forward to seeing Tane Basham, and he went off early. Once he came on, didn't reappear. Dan Bigger looked okay when he came off the bench and
yeah.
Set up a try where Joe Roberts went through. And Joe Roberts looked fast. Do you see him going on the outside of
Quick,
Ollie Lawrence?
Quick, mate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Quick.
It's been good for the Scarlets. Linked really well. And
maybe that suggests that Ollie Lawrence doesn't have the pace to play 13, but I think it was more angles than it was pure
pace. It was
pace,
more angles, but it's also being good laterally as well as in a straight line. You've got to be agile.
Yeah, like Jonathan Joseph always was.
Yeah, yeah. And Joe Marchant is as well. I mean, that take from Joe Marchant was nearly absolutely freaking amazing. He just out of reach when he dives for it.
Mate, if there's one player I'd back to take that English, it'd be him.
Elliot Daly.
He's amazing at that. Or Elliot Daly, Anthony Watson. There's three of them. Pretty true. And Ollie Woodburn, there's four of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Glue on his hands normally.
But yeah, it wasn't a great performance by Wales. They shouldn't have allowed England to score with 12 men. That was a bit embarrassing. Should have done better when we had three-man advantage, even though we scored a try. You know, 15 against 12.
Should hammer him, really.
You've got to be doing better than that, yeah.
What do you think about the... Dan Bigger did look decent when he came on, but then... You take each match on its merits and you want to win it, but what's the point in bringing him on to a point? You sort of know...
Yeah, you know what you're going to get
with him. I sat there and thought, I'd almost leave him off there and let Owen Williams...
Yeah, he's not going to do anything different than he's done in the last 12, 15 years for Wales. There's not going to be no surprise at all. I agree with you. He did look okay when he came on there, and he seemed to steady the ship a little bit, but it's a warm-up game.
He's obviously a very good player, but
it's a warm-up
game,
my point it being, in that try something. You know, try and... You know, I don't think the actual intent to attack was very good from both teams now.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about a friendly game. It is a friendly. I know people say there's no friendlies, but it is a friendly. There's nothing on it. It's a warm-up game to get yourself fit. You've got to go out there and you've got to try something a little bit different. Why take a line out off the top, sit in the pocket and put the ball in the air? You know, I think there was a lack of ambition from Wales. And that was pretty annoying, really, because why do you want to squeeze out a team and try and arm wrestle them into a victory when you've got the perfect chance to go out there and try something? Try and be creative.
Well, maybe, because that's how you intend to play at the World Cup.
Wales, they're not going to win. They're not going to get far if that's how they'd want to play, because we just don't have the size. And we're just relying then on other teams to make mistakes when we need to score tries. I hope they pick Sam Costello at 10, because when he gets the ball and he takes it to the line, he takes it flat, he puts players through holes, he's a running threat. And when you've got, like, watch Entomac, he is just a threat. Yeah. When he goes through a hole, he's gone, like his try. He just gets on the outside of Steyn and he's gone. Absolutely flying through the hole, scores his try. When you've got a 10 like that, it just creates space elsewhere. And Costello is that running threat. So really want to see him at 10. I think he should be for Wales' first choice going into the World Cup. I think Wales have to evolve and have to play differently. It's not going to work just sitting in the pocket, putting up and unders. It might work for one game against a big top tier one nation, but it's not going to work consistently. So,
yeah, I think the box kick chase, get your detail right, park the bus type thing.
Might work in a final.
Really, really hope I'm right. I do not think it's going to win you a World Cup. I think you're going to have to go out and score tries. And people can talk about how one dimensional the Springboks are and all that sort of stuff, but they've got genius outside 12. Well, they have had it. Lucanio Arm's injured, isn't he? But they've had genius there and they've scored some brilliant tries. And they're not just a box-kicking team. In the semi-final in the last World Cup, it was awful. 9-8, I think it was, against Wales. That was awful because it was just 100 box kicks. But actually, when they properly play, their forward carrying and breakdown work is a thing of beauty because it's just savage. So it's not boring. It's really aggressive. I just don't think... that game plan, I agree with you, wins your World Cup, gets you that deep. I really don't.
Doesn't. It squeezes out teams and it gets you the odd win against a big nation, but you're not going to be able to play regularly like that. So you need to evolve. Anyway, Flatsy, you've got England, Ireland this weekend.
Yep.
Big game that.
Yeah, I tell you what.
You've got to go all out, haven't you?
As in, you're number one team. Yep. England certainly have, because they need to find some form with their first choice team.
Yep.
And they haven't got any yet. And their first game's a big one. So I am primarily interested to see who Ireland pick. That's what I'm thinking. Mm. I want Ireland to go full throttle as well. Just because I'm watching it on telly and I like watching Ireland play. Like I want the best team out there. But it'll be interesting. I can't imagine a lack of fight from England. You certainly saw a lot of fight at the weekend, but that should be a given. That's a given at pro level. We all fought hard. It's just some people are better than others. Some people are better players than others.
There should be dog in everyone. Yeah, I don't think it's
a be
or end all the result. I think just finding combinations that work and finding something positive to take from the game, as in, ooh, that 10, 12, 13 combo looked really good, or that back row combo looked good, or the line out function,
yeah,
or the scrum function. Wales got South Africa, and that's what I want to see. I just want to see a couple of combinations work. You know, whether it's Tomos Williams, Sam Costello, or whether it's Gareth Davis and Sam Costello, I want to see something in that game that makes it a positive and makes me think, right, those two look good. You know, they're going to be our combination for the World Cup, and the centres as well. There's been something like 19 different centre combinations for Wales since Wayne Pivac took over, and now. So I want to see...
Well, like England, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit like that. And it just shows you how good a solid centre partnership is with that understanding. And Ireland have that, I think. Whether it's Bundiaki, Ringrose, or whether it's Henshaw, Ringrose, whether it's Aki or Henshaw, they've played a lot together in those different combinations.
Yeah.
And it just works and it's proven. And I want to see that with Wales. I really hope they go Costello, Johnny Williams, Mason Grady. I want to see Mason Grady at 13. I think he's a wonderful player. He's got so much pace.
Do you love him, do you?
Yep. Yeah, want to marry him. He's got so much pace. He's so athletic. He's big. A huge fend. He's the real deal. But just
I walked past some kids the other day.
A bit of time, yeah.
I walked past some kids the other day, and this one kid said to like his sister or whatever, or friend, whatever it was, he's like, "You marry that bag if you love it so much, you idiot." now you're doing it. Marry that bag if you love it so much, you idiot.
But I don't think that Wales is going to beat South Africa. I've seen the South African team. Oosh. Scrum line out in the tie.
Cheers, Em.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
Flat, I've got to go. I've got to go get my retainers for my teeth now.
I'm going to the beach, actually, on the boat. I won't be smug about it.
No.
Freya's taking the toddler and the baby to her mum's down the road, and I'm taking the big girls to the beach. I get absolutely lashed, except I'm not going to have any beers at all, but... That's fine.
Still have fun, don't you?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, don't worry about me. I'll be all right. Look, keep going. Good luck to you, boy. And good luck, everybody. Keep going, all right?
Yeah, and we'll speak to you next Monday for the final Autumn Series pod, and hopefully we'll be doing some ITV ones as well throughout the World Cup.
Is it the final one?
Yeah, of the Summer Series.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, we're doing a ITV one, aren't we? Oh, good fun.
Touch wood.
All right. Well done. Touch Airy Wood. See you in a bit.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.